Stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're going to start with the public hearing on historic zoning regulations. And I see we have a couple planning commission members here. Bob, can I pass that out to you and Ann and Steve?
I'm just the historical society.
Oh, okay. I can give you an overview of what we're trying to propose here. These are additional zoning regulations that will go into our zone plan. This is in relation to the downtown designation, now called Step 3, which I'm not sure what it'll be called next week. It has changed a couple of things, but one of the things that is required is additional zoning rights. The first part of it was, which was already adopted a few months back, was the
subdivision.
Thank you. So this is the second part. This is for downtown, historic preservation of downtown. What we did was we got us some samples from different towns and modified them to what we thought was best for Fairhaven, in the opinion of the Planning Commission. So what we did in general was to use that template and then come to what we thought was palatable for Fairhaven. So there are people that are very stringent and want very stringent things. The historical people in the state wanted things like no vinyl windows, or that's the one that always stuck out for me. Because the theory is you want to be as close to this historic building as you had, but you have to assume that there's a cost to that. And if you only have wood windows, it's much more expensive than a vinyl window or something like that. So we modified those kind of things, and we went back and forth with the people in the Historic Society to come up with a consensus. And essentially, what we've done is we put words in there that say things like, if you can prove your change to the downtown, a downtown building, for instance, it's too expensive to do it by these rules. How do you accommodate? And so it puts the onus on the Planning Commission to make sure that we preserve as well as we can the downtown area, and these rules are for that. It also, as I said before, it suffices for the requirements for the downtown designation Step 3. We are slowly getting there, and this is a big step to adopt these rules tonight. Questions? You got anything to add?
I don't. You do quite well. You did good.
And the board did have, we had in our packets a copy of your draft regulations so we could look through them. Okay. I think I'll start with, are there any questions from the people that are here?
So, can you tell me what the downtown designated area is? I know that everything around the park on the National Historic Register, but does it go down to?
It goes right now. This is also subject to change because the Rutland Regional Planning Commission is doing their 5-year plan, or 7-8 year. But it essentially goes from St. Mary's down through to. That's where it gets a little difficult because it may go to the bottom of the hill. We are pushing for not necessarily historic district, but a business area that would get us all the way to South Skyline. But these plans are specifically for down what you would consider the downtown. There's a little bit of ambiguity in there. So if we find a historic building that is maybe farther out of the downtown, but historic and preservable and worth preserving, these rules will give us a chance to comment. So that's some of the ambiguity that Planning Commission put in there for just that reason.
Because we do have to start coming south of the park.
Yes. And so
way before Skyline. Yeah, I mean so the added stop.
It's specifically in accordance with I'm trying to think what it says. The Fairhaven Local Historic District documents the architectural land something like it is basically downtown, around the park, to, like I said, to the great to St. Mary's, back this way.
Sort of like what's right behind your head.
Yeah.
That's the updated one right there.
I don't know which one it is. It's basically this outside line here. And so
So the grief, normal therapies, funeral, all of those things are considered to be
considered
downtown.
in
This would be St. Mary.
Thank you.
I've been looking at it this whole time thinking that's it right there.
That's pretty much it. And for well, I don't want to complicate things, but we are trying to get a much more broader business district involved, which is not the same thing as this. So I won't complicate comments on that.
Okay. Any other questions about the zoning, the draft zoning district for historical district session from people here? Rose.
Well, what exactly is this going to mean to the like the property owners and the business owners? I mean, how much more are they going to have to put in to accommodate all these
They're not going to
rules?
have to do anything.
Okay.
If they want to substantially change their down of the facades of their downtown or add a story to it or something like that, there are some provisions that they have to make. One of the things that they wanted us to do, which we thought was kind of onerous, was to if you have some windows that you can't replace at this point, we didn't want just to have them boarded up, but they wanted us to make them
Fix them.
much more. They wanted to make them look like they were windows, and we said we can live with less of that, but not forever. And so if you're trying to rehab a building, we're not gonna step on you and tell you can't put plywood in the windows for a while until you can get the windows you want, but we will comment on the zoning regulations require us to comment, and you will have to come to us with a plan for what the windows would be, which is not much different than what you get in the rest of the town anyways. So.
So, if they have to replace the windows, they under the historical downtown thing, they would have to replace them with windows that would be, that would take the historic aspect. And in other words, you couldn't, like, if they were
arched windows, you couldn't like put in regular windows and then just fill in the arch. I've seen that done.
Yeah, not necessarily. It's not an absolute no, but we would really want them to be as close to historical as they could be, particularly in the buildings that are downtown and that are there now that are stepped. It does. I'm trying to find where the exact wording for what it says to that. Exterior modifications that restore the building to its historical appearance or bring it closer to conditions than its current state based on documentary evidence of historic. That's the Planning Commission may waive and approve application for exterior modification if the applicant demonstrates that the proposed work will result in one of the following. The exterior, the removal of modern materials or alterations that presently cover historic or architectural. That's not exactly what I was looking for.
Do you want to give them like a timeline? When they came in to apply?
Right.
And to tell us exactly, you know, what you plan for the modifications, and then there'd be like a timeline for them to get those done. And then if they didn't, they'd have to come back.
So this is what I wanted to read. So it makes it a little less scary for you. If an application is submitted for an alteration of the exterior appearance of the building specified as an integral resource of local historic business, the Planning Commission shall meet with the owner of the building to devise an economically feasible plan for preservation of the building. So that we fully expect to work with anybody that wants to do renovations and stuff in downtown. And we fully expect that we will be able to compromise as well as preserve.
Are there any grants there?
Yes. Well, one of the things that the downtown district allows us for, there's and I wish I don't believe I brought that with me. There are, yes, the short answer is yes. And if we get the downtown designation, it opens us up for all kinds of transportation grants, big sidewalks. There's a
location grant.
Yep.
For the building.
There's a basic grant that is almost, it's not promised, but it's almost a given of $25,000 that other towns have got it. You get, everybody gets it, and it's sometimes a rolling thing for a few years that would allow us to have maybe even a part-time person to work on projects and work on getting other grants that we could produce in there. And that's kind of one of those things that these regulations are a step toward. They don't guarantee us anything, but without them we don't have a chance.
Right, but with that specific grant it would be for specifically some revitalization.
So there's a list of probably 15 different grants that are that we become more eligible for because of the downtown designation. It's an important and helpful part of what they're
but they're still competitive grants, correct?
They are, but the $25,000, I shouldn't, the $25,000 one sounded almost like it's a starter. They want you to get going. So it's one of those things that they have money to give, and they give it to downtown designated areas, now called step three designated areas, which are kind of an unoriginal name.
And how do we address when the home, because there are homes, how do we address it with that, with the homeowner? I mean, it's a lot easier when it's a school because, you know, we...
If they're in the downtown designated, if they're downtown historic district area, then they will have to follow these rules.
Mm-hmm.
And
Because I mean, when one of the houses sell, you know, like recently, the Parkhurst,
right.
You know, the Parkhurst estate sold. You know, do we make that a part of, you know, when people buy a house that is in the historic district, what the rules and rules are, almost like a homeowners association kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like that, but you know, the other we specifically wrote these rules as loosely as we could because we understand the economic part of it. And one of, for instance, there was a long discussion about a particular house that has a beautiful porch that should be saved, but it may be economically unfeasible. So if somebody was to come in and bring us their plans without that, we would encourage that, but we wouldn't necessarily say it was a requirement to get a firm. It just would be, we would love to see an alternative. We would love to see what, and we would, the rules give us enough oomph to say, please try, and if they can't, why not? And then we agree.
I mean, just case in point, when I was working at the school, and we wanted to make it accessible. And I went to Skip and said, we can't change the front facade because that was the plan. And he said, sure, we can. I said, no, we can't. They called the state and found out, no, we can't. So it, those kinds of things. But when we wanted to put things on the window, like the shade, remember we put that. Now, that doesn't change the front facade, you know, so the shape of the windows in this town, there are a lot of windows that you don't want to change, but the problem is they cost $5,000, $6,000, $7,000.
Each.
Yeah,
right.
To put the glass in.
Well, that's what I was actually, is there, Bob, is there money for homeowners to, that, you know, like you said, okay, so this porch, if they wanted to make it historic, but they just don't have the money, are there grants for those sort of people?
There may be.
I think there is.
They aren't specific to these regulations. It wouldn't be.
Okay.
It wouldn't. You couldn't say because of a regulation, I'm automatically eligible for a grant. But there are all kinds of grants out there for that kind of thing, and both public and private, probably easier.
Preservation trust.
Yeah, preservation trust. It's probably easier to get in a public building than it would be a private, but it is not, you know, for the good of historical preservation.
There's point probably, Red House.
Yeah.
I mean, we were able to document it, even though we couldn't save it because it was never put on the National Historic Register. How that happened, we don't know. And because it was the oldest house, that red house. So that's why the oldest current home, we believe, is across from Young's Farm, which was the Young's
homestead. The brick house, or at least the brick part of the house.
Right. I mean, so many houses that have been changed. Betty Allen Barnell's house doesn't really look a lot like it did back then, but it was a Cape Cod, it's still a Cape Cod.
Okay. I think is there any other comments from someone? Board members, any questions or comments?
For the record, there are three members of the commission here. I failed to mention it. Same as on the board.
And yeah, I did want to say, I, as a member of the planning commission, who's followed this, I'm really thankful to have Bob and Ann, the attention to detail that they brought to this project. But I have no questions, but thank you for that.
So,
I have no questions at this
no
time.
No questions. So let's see here. We talked a lot about facade and everything. Bob, can you explain? So when I looked through the rough draft, I looked pretty good. I wasn't real clear if we start going inside. You've got a building, it's historic. We've talked a lot about the windows and the facade. Inside, what's your thoughts? Because I saw some mention to you might have something like a like the old playhouse that's up there, and that, but then I think in terms on the other end of the where George, oh, I think lies around there, where the upstairs area, would it, how would you handle it in
Well,
inside?
there are not much in terms of there's not much in terms of inside construction. The regular our zoning regulations already address downtown businesses in that the front of a downtown business can't be an apartment, but you could do the back side of a ground level apartment. So I think it says 50%. So that we tried not to do anything inside that would bother and make and as you're in make it that much more expensive.
Sure.
There and with the possible exception of the playhouse, there isn't a lot of inside. Particularly in the buildings downtown, maybe some of the homes around here have some specific things that are worthwhile. But for instance, like the Marble House and the Carriage House, when they were re renovated, they couldn't replace the molding, so they did plaster casts of the molding and put that up, and it's perfect. And we would be more than happy to see that. The intention is to give people guidance and have some protection for our historical buildings, but not to be too much of an ogre about it. So no, there's.
So, and one other, so what's next? What do you see as your, this is the process of getting your zoning up to date. Is there one more meeting? What's your final?
This is just
just, oh yeah, that we, this is just the historic piece you want to put into our, we just approved our zoning update here, but you want to put that in, I understand.
Yes.
What's your next step?
So you guys approved this particular part of the zoning. That finishes the requirements, the zoning requirements for the downtown designation, step three. So that both, well, the historical and the subdivision. Those are the two requirements from the state for zoning changes. We have several other steps to go through. Some of them have changed from when we started. And at some point, we will come back to the board, ask you to redirect us again to go for it or not. I mean, it'll be your choice to say whether you want to go for the step three process. There are probably, I don't know, what is it, 10 or 15 individual steps. Some of them we have completed because we were in the downtown designation, but someplace in the fall slash maybe October, November, it changed. It all shut down and they changed it to step three. Call it step three. It's a little bit, it may be better because some of the approval processes you don't have to go to individual agencies in the state. The guy that runs it, this Gary Holloway, will be doing staff level approvals. So that may help us. The big reason for doing this, if you remember, the biggest reason to do this is being able to be less encumbered by Act 250. Act 250 is still there, but we, particularly in the downtown area, and about a half mile outside of that designation you see there, would be development would be less bothered by Act 250. One, because we have subdivision rules, and two, because we are preserving our downtown district.
So am I right in saying that this is a draft of the historical section? The Planning Commission will be coming back in the future with the final version, or are you looking? See, I'm trying to find out. Are you looking for a motion to accept?
Yep.
Because what I'm looking at is a document that says draft. Okay. This is the final thing.
Yes.
So what you're looking for, trying to find out what you're looking for from across the board, and so what you're looking for is a motion to accept the local historic district section for our zoning plan.
Yes.
I would make a motion to accept this local historic. I'm sorry.
Joe, you wanna
not to be a stickler.
Yeah,
I think you
I'm
have
sure
to
you. I'm sure you can.
I think you have to warn.
And I'm sure you can do this with no hassle. But this is a public hearing before the actual board meeting. You've heard the comments from your from the residents. Now at the next meeting, we will put the approval of the zoning.
I just don't want to. I don't want us to step in something that we right. Yeah, just
Do it at a public hearing, but another 2 weeks is not going
to kill anything. I was just going to say, the next meeting will be after the election, which will be March 17th. But see what I'm saying is, I don't know if we properly warned this for a vote so that anyone who wanted to come and apply. That's why I'm hesitant to.
Hear me out on my concern, though. So if it's voted and then somebody does argue the fact after, like, well, I'm not following that. I'll do what I want with my windows. And it turns out that it was not properly warned in a meeting to accept, then we got a court fight. So no.
Two weeks is not a big deal. We've been at this for a year plus, a year and a half plus. I was on the board.
Well, the next meeting is a little after town meeting day.
Right. Yeah, it'll be 4 weeks.
Yeah,
it'll be March 17th.
It doesn't hurt our timeline,
and it doesn't change the fact that you did a very good job on putting that together.
It looks
good. We properly warn it, and then you motion bring it in if we could. Yep. Anything else for Planning Commission while we have them here, board? Thank you very much. We appreciate your work. Keep up the good work. I want to bring this public hearing to an end. Yeah. Is it now 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock. This turn.
Just turned 7 o'clock. So what I'd like to do is call the meeting of our regular select board together. We've already done the pledge, so I think we're good there. Any amendments to the agenda?
Yes, sir. One tonight. We received the bond documents for the new public works building that need to be signed. I'd like to add the signing of bond documents under new business, please.
I'll entertain a motion to have under new business D signing of the bond document for the Department of Public Works.
I will make a motion to add the signing of the bond document to business for the agenda.
Do I have a second? Seconded by Rich. You know what we're doing? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Good. Item 4 on our agenda, approval of the minutes from February 3rd. I'll entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes of January 3rd.
Do I have a second?
I'll second third.
Seconded by January 3rd. That's right.
February 3rd.
No, it was.
February 3rd.
It was February 3rd.
Did I put January on the
No.
I missed.
I missed.
February 3rd. We have a motion by Rich, second by Keith. Any discussion, errors, omissions? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Department head reports, Joe. Looks like it's falling to your lap.
All about me today. Okay, let's start with the police department. So, over the last 2 weeks, our police department's had 5 arrests, 109 traffic violations, 36 written warnings, 2 car crashes, 3 overweight permits were issued, and 11 sets of civilian fingerprints were completed. Bear with me. Still bear with me. And Mr. Breezy, Patrolman Rodney Breezy, I think I said that right, he started his 8th year with the department.
Huh.
So we congratulate him on his 8th year. Also for the police department, I don't know if the board got this, got a letter in the mailbox. This has to be one of the nicest letters I think anybody has ever sent to the town of Fairhaven. She meant for the police department. This young lady, she was going through a real hard time. And at the time, I think it was Shane Harvey, and then the chief, they had to do their job and, you know, worked with her as police officers. At the time, she did not appreciate that. But as she got out of her hard times, she sent a nice letter saying, thank you for putting me on the back on the right course. This was a really great letter. I wish I had the words to say how wonderful it is. But we just want to recognize the good work that it's not just about throwing people in jail. It's about getting people back on their feet. So thank you to that young lady.
Thank you so much.
Hello, from my office, nothing quite that exciting. We finished up our performance reviews for staff last week. Everybody did a reasonably good job. We did have a burst pipe. That cold weather, we had kind of a back storage room, and that pipe was on the outside wall. We had a burst pipe. Luckily, the chief was there. We caught it. It took about 5 minutes. It got it cleaned up like that fast. So no, maybe minor damage. You're trying to clean the water stain out of the carpet. But other than that, nothing too bad.
Where in the building?
In the police department. The insulation project is complete. The insulation was installed. Insulation, yeah. Yeah. So that's great. I noticed an improvement in our heat retention like right away. This hallway sometimes gets cold. But that insulation, the temperature slowly came back up. It was literally that day. So thank goodness that's done. And that was all done on a grant. Like the town of Fairhaven did not pay anything for that project. So 15 inches of cellulose in the attic. He did a nice job. The RFP for the housing project is out. I got a few responses back. I sent it to 16 different engineering firms. So we're looking forward to that. I bumped the due date back to March 27th just because I got it out of my plate. And the 27th land, that's the Friday before a board meeting. Oh, I did apply. I've been on the tear applying for some money again. I submitted an AARP grant for $15,000 to get some lighting to put around the trees and just to kind of spruce up the park for our winter events, if and when we have any. We want to thank Eileen. It was a tough year to get those town reports out, but she managed to hammer them out. She got everything out on time. Like, I'm a big stickler about staying on our timeline. Did a great job. So thank you, Eileen. And meet the candidates, that's still on, so we bumped it to the 21st. So Saturday the 21st at 2 p.m., we'll do a meet the candidates event over at the library where people can, who are running for office, can come and explain why they're running for office and their position on any number of topics. And that's what we got for you.
Questions for Joe? Water plant, we're going to look into staying, but it was for the leak and anything move on that yet?
Yep. So we released a request for proposals months ago. Mike chose the same engineer that is working with Carrie on their on her collection system. So they'll be out to take a look at the facility itself for the filters. They've already looked at it once, but they're going to do a more in-depth look at it, and then we'll start pulling cost proposals together. It's not going to be a cheap thing. The filters alone are $500,000.
Did you say $500,000?
Are they help us with grants also?
Or what? They'll look for, they will, what I've found when we've done almost every project is it's always a loan. Somewhere between 3 and 5%. I have not had a grant yet for a water system.
No. Rose, you had a question?
No. Is the insulation the last thing that needed to be done upstairs? So are will we be all set to have our pre-town meeting up there?
Next year, not this year. It's, I was close, like, but I had to get the warning out before. So the fire department's moved a lot of their stuff out. Mr. Wilson finished one square up, the final square up there, and I've painted a goodly portion. So then we swept it out. It's come a lot of height. The fire department, in fact, tonight is having a training on the second floor. So for those who say, well, why are we doing that? We can have our police training and fire training. I know. West Rutland, they'll have, like VLCT will have their trainings in West Rutland. We can do that here now because we have the space. And that brings people and they'll spend their money in our community instead of in other communities. Just a minor positive, right? So.
Good. Okay, moving right along. Old business, there's none. New business. A, approval of the state road and bridge standards.
Yeah, so this is long back there. So we've been approving this for decades. I looked back, the earliest I could find it was in 2003, I think. But this is something the town approves every year, and it allows us to get grant money to maintain our road. I just need the board to approve the standards again and then sign this document.
I need a motion to accept the road and bridge standard proposal.
I'll make a motion to accept the road and bridge standard.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Discussion, questions?
Maybe.
You want to see the copy?
Not sure that I've.
They have a standard form document that each year they come out with and plug in the data to.
Okay.
And I think that's signed by the whole board.
The board and the clerk?
And the clerk. Okay. So we've had a motion, a second. Any other questions, comments?
Sign first.
All those, no, go ahead. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. One piece of business and a tough. While you're signing that, the next item B, is the annual highway mileage certificate.
So, similar to the road and bridge standard, the Board of Selectmen approved this every year. It's just telling the state how many miles of road we have. They did apply, so they put Munger back in our list, but they applied it last year. So you'll not see it. There's no change this year because Munger was added last year.
How many miles is that?
You're at 36.355 miles. 36 miles of road. So I need an approval on that.
I'll entertain a motion to approve the highway mile certificate.
I'll make a motion to approve the highway mileage certificate, annual highway mileage certificate.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Sam. Any questions? All those in favor?
Aye.
Yeah, Henry Weir in that session.
Did that have to be something as well? Mileage.
Now the item, let's see. C, town meeting discussion. We have brought Steele, our moderator here, because I wouldn't dream of having a town meeting without a first check in with Steele. You want to, Steele, tell us what you usually do at town meeting?
What I usually do?
Yeah, as far as moderating and setting the thing up all the game.
Well, this will be my last one. I'm not running for town moderator again, but so hopefully someone will step up. Actually, we start the same way every year with a list of, you know, do's and don'ts about town meeting. As moderator, you try to keep the meeting always civil. So I try to do that. I try to, you know, if there's any kind of differences of opinion, so I'll say who is for this or who's, I need somebody who's for it and then somebody who's against it. I don't know. I've been doing it a long time. And
if, do you want to say how many years?
I don't know, but I think I started 2011 or 12. I can't remember. It was after I, you know, retired. Actually, Peter Neary died, and Kelly Neary called me and asked if I would
run. I remember that.
So yeah. So I, you know, she said, "Remember when you asked me to be on the school board?" I said, "Yes." He says, "Okay, well, I'm asking you to be the town moderator." So I've been doing it since then, and it's been a pleasure. I only missed the one when my mom died. But yeah, and Chris Dan took my place. But yeah, we're looking for a new moderator. we like to call it pre-town meeting. It's actually a budget hearing, and, you know, going over the morning, it's actually your meeting. Because we are Australian ballot. If we voted on one thing, then it would be considered a town meeting, but it's a pre-town meeting, just of reviewing the budget. So I'm more than happy to serve as moderator, but I usually.
And for the most part, we usually behave ourselves.
Well, and I let you know if you don't.
Exactly.
Or the moderator, because you can't refer to yourself in first person. It's the moderator.
What's the rules for discussion on items on can they be discussed in?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, because it's not like being in the ballot box.
The positives and the negatives of everything.
Yes. Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we go by Robert's rules, which usually limits a person to 2 questions or 10 minutes. So I do have a little notepad up there and see, you know, how long people talk. Robert's rules can always be changed. You know, you can say, if we don't want to do this, we want to talk. The only thing, you don't have a bond issue, correct? Bonds are different. Bonds are
free game.
It's open season on bonds. You can ask anything you want to and go as long as you want to. Or until the moderator falls asleep. Which came pretty close 1 year.
And with us, we'll be having some, we'll be talking probably the thing that should get, I'd be surprised if it didn't get quite a bit of discussion, is our local option tax.
Correct.
And Steele is very good at saying, make your statement to the moderator so you don't get 2 people fighting and disagreeing. If, I think everyone has a right to have their own opinions and have them heard, but it's better when you.
And I tell them everybody likes me, so don't yell.
It's not personal. It's just you just make them.
Yeah. Yeah, now all questions are always directed to the moderator.
Mm-hmm.
That we get a lot of back and forth sometimes, and I try really hard not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when we get into a volley, really not.
And I think we're having two handouts. How many? A couple handouts.
Here, the normal graph that kind of shows where we were last year and what happened this year, and then by where the money goes, just the pie chart that shows you the big hunk of. Another question.
Sure.
So this goes. This is this question for Steve, for the moderator. So I was driving in thinking about Brookhaven and town meeting. I have a lot of good conversations in my office, just one-on-one. And most everybody that comes to town meeting are people I know and people that I get along really well with. For the last article on the ballot, it's like other things to be discussed or other things to be, would it be inappropriate to just, for me, I'm thinking me, to ask and the board what your ideas are? Could I just ask, you guys want to talk for a minute? Because I really just like to sit down and chat with everybody, all of my friends all at once. Is that weird? Is that weird?
Little Mr. Rogers.
Welcome.
That's
Brian.
Never been a bad thing.
Tying your shoe.
As long as no one makes a motion, because you can't make a motion.
Hmm.
But as far as a discussion, as long as it's germane to what's on the morning.
That's too bad. Because there's a lot of misinformation, and I feel like instead of just sitting in a line and people hammering the board and myself, maybe we need to talk about it for a second. How do you guys feel about
that? It might clear the air on some kind of few things. If people have questions or concerns, you might be able to just discuss it in the normal Joe Compton way.
All right.
I support you. I'm not optimistic that it'll accomplish the goal that you're trying to accomplish.
I'm sitting back saying, there's a lot of ways this can go south in a hurry. But that's just, I understand, but.
It won't go south.
Well, and by the last one,
it's been a long
quite time. A few people have left.
Oh, it's been a long night. It'll be clear if it's like with the questions and on some of the items we have, we could be a long night.
I mean, 1% tax option tax. I mean, this is not the first time it's come up though. So,
all right, I'll skip my Mr. Rogers moment. How nice would it be just to sit and talk,
if it goes really. Well, and usually what I'm talking about is if you've been there for 2.5 hours and you've watched the crowd that started and then it dwindled
you
back.
You don't have the crowd to have.
35
yeah,
is a big crowd and it dwindles down to 10. I don't know.
Sit by the door as we're going out.
Right, just chat as we go.
And chat.
That's not bad. Session line.
You can always have a community forum.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. Maybe like an informal chat with Joe.
Right, yeah.
Once a month or something.
Yeah,
that'd be fun. On PEG TV, just invite him in.
You can.
Would you, Mr. Ramsey? I will wear my cardigan.
Invite PEG TV and sit right here and talk to people.
Did you
bet? Yeah, we'll do that.
One of my biggest questions is the whole a lot of years now. You got the budget, first item, second item. Beyond that, all the articles, it's called the appropriations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think most people know what this is all about. I don't think people really realize those appropriations will raise our taxes beyond what our percentage that we have also done and worked so hard all year to come up with. And we come up with 4.25% for our operating budget.
Is there room?
But if you put all them and you add them in after the fact, we're 23-24%. And I don't think people realize that.
Now that is stated, I believe, on this stuff.
But no one knows
that somewhere. Totally understood. But I wonder if did you design this with distribution in mind, putting this to people along the day? Might we read this before we go into the discussion of appropriations, or can we read it after the first appropriations item?
You have 10 minutes.
Or
talk about it before we say what you want.
Because I think you're very right, Rich, and we can certainly make that point clear by simply standing up and stating it. I don't know, beyond that, I don't know what else we can do. Start Did you have something in mind?
Start off with it.
Well, the hardest part is that, like you said, we might get 750 people to vote. We have a lot more registered voters in Fair Haven than that, but you may not get more than, it depends, 500, 700 people.
Yep.
And if only 35 come to the town
meeting, we're not,
you're not
reaching the people.
You're not reaching, you know.
This is a problem I'm having all the time. I run into people. They're dead set against something. And you can't convince them that it would be so much better to spread things out, you know, financially.
How are you reaching this beach in Fort Warrior?
I could tell people every time they're complaining online. Have you been to a town meeting?
It's unbelievable. Yeah, right? It's so,
town meeting.
So frustrating.
It's easier to type it.
Right. Right, and I'll argue.
So we introduce each ballot item and the clock starts. We are free as members of the select board, I assume, to stand.
Raise your hand, I recognize you, absolutely.
Okay. And there might be sometimes just a question from the person to understand the article. And if you have the answer to that question, feel free to. Sure, that's what we're all there.
I just read it right off, write it, you know. Number one, are there any questions or comments? And then and I give people, or the moderator gives, ample time, because I'll look around. This is your only chance, you know, those kinds of comments. And then I go. Move on to
article
one. Yeah. Should I say it? May I be recognized, or how?
Raise your hand. Just make sure I see it. I do have glaucoma.
Who did that?
That's right.
Most of these articles that are on here, the appropriations, did not come from this. This legislature.
No, they're by petition.
They're petition.
Can we read by petition
from the people?
Correct.
But I don't think they realize what it does to their taxes. I don't think they have a clue. There might be a half a dozen, but what I've been hearing out there, I don't.
You'll be both.
And if I put on my Aston Community Center and my Fairhaven Free Library and my other hats, I think we had a meeting here to talk about that. And how difficult it is for many of our social service agencies to run. As you all know, many, many things have been cut. The Historical Society had a meeting last night, and we recently had a speaker through Vermont Humanities, but that money's dried up at the end. So if we want another speaker, we're going to have to wait until the next round of funding. Pet TV, public TV, all these organizations that run on government funding are having a very difficult time. So, which is why a lot of, I don't know, Joe, but did anybody come in with a new petition to raise? I know the community center did not.
The library went raised, the rescue squad raised, and the $525,000 paving for Scotch Hill came. So those were there, along with the $50,000 we as a board put there, that was supposed to get $150,000 to $200,000. That was our plan to address Ms. Concho. So there are some increases from last year. I admit,
being on the library board, in years past, we've had to raise it because we weren't meeting, or we were paying our employees minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And that had to stop really quickly. Oh. So, you know, it's not that, you know, when you look at that line item, there's five people that are being covered with that thing. And that doesn't even include, you know, thankfully, Joe, and we're getting off the topic of meeting, but Joe, you know, applied for a HUD grant because we've really been looking. And we know a year and a half ago, 2 years, it was $125,000. I have no clue what it will be now, or we can find, you know, someone who the state approves of to do the masonry work on the building.
We try at that town meeting to get a representative, especially if you're raising what you're asking for there, to talk to it. But I thought one of the good things we did this past year that I would recommend we do again in this coming years, we invited, after hearing that a lot of nonprofits can't be everywhere, there's meetings every place, we invited them in here and we had a great discussion. I thought it was important for me to find out about the troubles that they're having and the good that those folks do. And it might be to address some of what you're saying to help people understand, hey, look, it is an addition too. So when you're just consciously know it's not baked into the budget. So when you're saying yes or no, understanding what you're doing, as long as you do that, I think, because I thought that was helpful, bringing them in, and I think they really appreciate that
case in point, we invited them in. What they used to buy for, let's say, $250, it now costs, for the same amount of food, $500 to $700. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the money we're giving them isn't going nearly as far as it used to be, and yet the need has way past all of it.
Anything else before I move on to the next item on the agenda? I think we've...
Yep, town meeting is March 2nd.
School library.
At the school library.
And they know to open the door for us.
Yes. What's the young lady's name that lives at the front desk now?
I don't know. I don't know.
Byfield. Hannah, yes. Hannah. Yeah, I talked to Hannah. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
It used to be Terry DeMathy, but he retired.
Yeah, that's great. I miss Smith.
Okay. Yes.
7 o'clock.
What time are they going to open the doors?
I don't know, but we usually ask at 6:30.
6:30.
But that doesn't.
For a 7 o'clock meeting. For the 7 o'clock meeting.
Correct.
I'll get there.
And sometimes Bill Humphreys comes and he has a key.
Yeah. And we'll let us in, and we'll go look for a flag so we can do the pledge of allegiance.
There should be one in the library. There should be one in the library, aren't we?
Yeah.
We've had to go look for one.
Last year.
And sometimes we find some. What we find. Okay. I'd like, if we got that, I'd like to thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Seal. Thanks, Seal.
And thank you for all your years of being a moderator.
Yes, but see, next time I get to come and talk.
Okay, under new business, I have D that we amended to the agenda, signing of the bond document for the DPW building.
Let me make sure. Yeah. Okay, we have three documents for the board. We have two documents for the board to sign and one only for one.
What would the motion...
So I'm gonna,
what motion are you looking for?
Sure. So I will use this as an example. This is the general obligation bond document. If I said, like, here's your general obligation bond document, motion to approve the general obligation bond, and I'll do that three times in two different documents.
That'll work for me.
Okay. General obligation bond.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the general obligation bond document?
I will motion to approve the general obligation bond document.
Motion by Sam. Do I have a second?
Second that.
Seconded by Rich. This one is signed by the whole board. We know what we're doing. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The next one is the resolution and certificate document. This is also for the entire board.
I entertain a motion for the resolution and certificate document signed by the board.
I make a motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Motion by Keith, seconded by Sam. We know what we're doing on that. All those in favor?
Aye. And the last one's for Glenn. This is the loan agreement signed by the Fair Haven Chair of the Select Board.
I'll entertain a motion to have the chair sign the loan agreement document.
I'll make a motion to sign the loan agreement or to have you sign the loan agreement document.
Do I have a second?
Oh.
Seconded by Rich. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
In case anybody asks, we did take possession of the building using bridge funding, right? So the town approved the purchase. We had to go to the bank and borrow that money from them. And now this is the bond. We'll pay off that loan, and then it's just a 30-year bond to start the full repayment. Just there's a timing issue with the bond bank is all. Thank you.
So moving on to 2 minutes for public comment. Yes.
My name is Cynthia Thomas Hutchins. I have been living and raising my family in Fairhaven for the better part of 14 years. I will admit I don't know how local government works, but I am here to ask to consider to update the current 1 acre requirements for backyard chickens.
Oh.
While it may have made sense decades ago, it no longer reflects how many communities responsibly manage small-scale poultry today. Across Vermont, towns have modernized their ordinances to allow a limited number of hens on residential lots with clear guidelines such as no roosters, thoughtful coop locations, and sanitation standards. These policies focus on responsible ownership rather than lot size alone. Our current acreage requirement unintentionally excludes many families, while in practice appears not to be consistently applied. If you drive through Fairhaven, there's plenty of families who don't live on an acre lot who do have chickens. Updating the ordinances would create clarity, fairness, and consistency, and consistent enforcement for everyone. Backyard hens are quiet, manageable, and produce a modest amount of waste that can be composted responsibly. They support local food access, teach children responsibility, and strengthen household food resilience, all values that align with small Vermont communities. I respectfully ask the board to consider reviewing and modernizing the ordinance to allow a responsible number of hens under clear, enforceable guidelines. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comment.
Very well.
We don't, we're, if you want clarification, but we don't answer on 2 minutes for public comment. It needs some, in order to have a discussion on that, it really should be warned on an agenda so that the people, you get both the people for and against.
I'm not looking to adopt any changes to our ordinance tonight. Yeah. And I just wanted to voice some thoughts.
Again, 2 minutes for public comment is not a two-way discussion. Your thoughts, other people would want to hear, and hasn't been properly warned. So
there's board roundtable though, I'm sure.
On board roundtable, you can say yes.
There.
It's up to the board now. On the public comment, it's up to the board to decide if it is something that the board wants to look into. It will be warned on an agenda, and then it'll be able to be discussed so all the pro-chicken can come and everything, and all the anti-chicken, it's not in my backyard, are here so they can be heard by the board So the board can understand.
I couldn't address Cynthia during the roundtable.
If you, the roundtable, you have an opportunity to say what you want.
Okay.
Addressing
just
this
stuff. Just like to ask her some questions.
You want to clarify what she said, go ahead, you can do a clarification.
Okay.
Now or during round?
And I should limit my.
I should limit my clarifying
questions.
The comment is not for a debate on a topic that comes in. It's not for our chat. But it's for someone to come in and say, I have something. Thank you very much. That's how we can't respond differently to when people come in and bring something up.
Okay. I haven't said anything about what she said.
I know. Yeah, if you,
I've only asked you questions.
If you want a clarification to what she said, you can ask her.
Have you discussed this with anyone else in the community? Your husband?
He gave permission to finally ask for chickens. I wanted chickens for a long time. No. I mean, yes, I put it on the Facebook.
Do you mind if I ask how many acres you currently live on?
Do you know where the giant skeleton is up on South Main Street? I have an itty bitty tiny lot. I think it's 0.24.
0.24. Okay.
Yeah. But it's a deep backyard.
And I know where she lives.
Big skeleton.
I go right now.
That is as good a landmark as any.
As a bikini.
The 12-foot skeleton? Is he 12 feet? Big fin.
Clarifying question.
Not a question necessarily, but
then thank you for your comment.
Would you be willing to? Well, not here's a question. Would you be willing to wait for a board roundtable?
Yeah, I'm sticking around.
Okay.
I want to see how this pans out.
Any other?
I do.
2 minutes. Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
So, town owned parking lot. Say around the park. That's owned by the town, right? I stepped out of my truck the other day. 1 foot, hit the ground, and I sailed out of my truck. Literally sailed. Because I was so slow. I hit my head on my running board, bounced off the ground, and was laying flat on my back from the park. I mean, there was nothing, no salt, no sand. Fully snowed. About an hour later, I'm thinking, oh, did somebody see me? Because Joe put out on the town site, be careful of the sidewalks. I've heard children are falling.
I did not say that on Facebook.
You said the sidewalks. You said it somewhere on the town
site. I did not say children are falling on sidewalks.
Well, you said you heard it sometime.
No, I didn't say that.
Well,
no, I did not.
Look at the similar.
Sure, something. 2 minutes.
Come on.
Sure, 2 minutes.
But can we take better care? Oh, I literally am like, wow. As fast as I flew out of my truck on 1 foot.
Where were you?
I was at the park, parking in front of the park on Main Street.
Across from the bank?
Further down, across from downtown. And wow. It was painful.
Sorry. Sorry about that. Thank you. Any other 2 minutes for public comment? Okay.
Lady over here.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Lori, not Arena. I just wanted to comment. Is there some place, I know this about the sidewalks, I want to thank Department of Public Works for doing the best they can. Is there some place where we as, like if we find a public area owned by the town of Fairhaven, like on the sidewalks or the crosswalk, I didn't fall, but it was another time I had to step over the bank, but not to complain, but is there somebody like we could report this to if Public Works doesn't know it's there? Is that, you know what? That's what I was just wondering.
Call Town Hall. Huh? You can call me.
Okay.
It's not a question, so I won't say it.
Rose?
Well, first, I wanted to make mention of all the work that the
fire department has been digging out the fire hydrants. And I know that they were kind of hoping that, like, people around town can adopt fire hydrants, you know, to dig them out whenever there's a storm. Is there a map? Like, where the fire hydrants are so people could do that?
I don't know if there's a fire hydrant map or not. It might
happen.
All fire hydrants at a certain time of year have to have like that flag or that pole up in the air.
I don't think it's a law, but
no, I just see them normally around this time of year. They're always sticking up. So if there is deep snow, they know where it is if there's an emergency.
I would think the water department would have to maintain some kind of map of the fire hydrants.
I would honestly check with Mike. Mike might have something on file. Mm-hmm. Would think.
It's just something that if maybe we could get it on the town website at some point that maybe, no.
There's so much junk on that website. Yeah.
I was just thinking maybe we could. What?
Can you repeat that? There is a few people around town that do
take
that
care,
already.
Take care of their.
They know where their fire hydrant is near their home and they usually shovel it out.
I don't remember one.
Well, two or three people on Grape Street to do it every storm.
Wow.
People on Fenton Avenue.
Going up on South Side.
You'll definitely want it cleaned out if there's a fire.
But your question of is there a map sounds like we don't know for sure, and maybe.
Oh, it's Jim.
Joe will find out. Any other 2 minutes for public comment? Hearing none, moving on to parking lot. Board, anything in the parking lot?
No. I think as we already discussed, we want to wait for more ordinance discussion until the new board is formed.
Round table.
Bam. I find your proposal intriguing. I am inclined to agree, Glenn, that there would be strong feelings on either side of a change to zoning that would allow for chickens to be kept on lots under an acre. That wouldn't surprise me at all that we would have a very strong opponents to any kind of change like that. However, had we spoken a month ago, Cynthia, I would have urged you strongly to put together a petition to have that question put on our ballot. And I don't know if that thought had occurred to you, but it is too late now to have such a thing done for town meeting day. But it happens every year. So if we, not that it ought to wait that long. However, I think everyone here on the board, my general feeling is that making too big a change without the political will to do so, meaning a strong sense that the town and its voters actually want to do something like that, I'm reticent to do that. So even though I might personally sympathize with your interests to keep chickens on your quarter acre lot, I wouldn't want to let my own personal feelings about it lead my decision making if we were to discuss making a change like that. And also, I assume it would go to the zoning, would it go to the zoning board of authority for discussion? I don't know. Okay.
I'd be careful about, you can petition anything you want, but if you have a health officer and a health issue, it isn't going to matter, would you?
Certainly, but it does serve as it does serve as a litmus test for how the community and its residents feel about something, and it's not virgin territory. It's something that many towns, as Cynthia pointed out, throughout the state has.
But before we go, you're getting into that whole discussion, and we
before you cut me off, maybe I'll just finish my thought, and then we can move on to another topic.
You,
how
you
about
can,
that?
As long as you don't go into areas you shouldn't be treading.
Which area was that, Glenn?
Responding and trying to debate the issue here. This is not the
I'm
debate.
I'm trying to debate the issue, Glenn.
Finish your comment.
All right. Thank you very much for putting that together and bringing it to us. I really appreciate whenever someone from the town brings something that they feel this passionately about and takes the time to think it through and make their case the way that you presented your case, because I think you do present a very strong case. But to my earlier point, the next time we discuss it, if there if you have the time or the inclination to gather more support from people in the community to your cause, I think it could only strengthen your case. And that would be my suggestion.
Like all the houses that fly under the radar of the ordinance?
You bring them up, we'll send the police
down. If the police will go down and their chickens will be gone the following week. That we've done in here. Be careful that you're getting advice to go do something that's going to get you alienated by your
history. There's an ordinance that isn't followed, and us that don't have good relationships with our neighbors, we can't fly under the radar.
I will say it's my understanding that there have already been instances brought to my attention where enforcement has been attempted. It is a difficult process to enforce, but it's not something that we don't have an interest in doing, enforcing the ordinances. But, you know, I think resources are allocated as they're able. And
well, we're not the chicken patrolman, right? We don't go out looking for trouble, but if trouble finds us, if trouble walks in the door, we have to address it.
If someone has a problem with chickens next door that someone's not living to our policy, contact the town manager. It will be addressed and has been addressed in the past and will be addressed in the future. Is the best answer I can. Sam, anything else?
That's all I got on that.
Keith.
Oof. I just have a couple things. One is, what is the ordinance on chickens? Does anybody know off the top?
1 acre.
1 acre.
1 acre.
How many can you have?
Over an acre.
It spells out the number of chickens. It's a very clear ordinance. So the,
10 on 1 acre, right?
On the Tom website?
Specific setback from road and property line that is well greater than the small lots of town.
Thank you. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Thank you
very much. It's not listed in the ordinance as chicken ordinance. It's keeping of live animals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my other thing is, I think it was last week when we had the freezing cold weather. My pipes froze, and it froze my water meter in my house. Now it's at a standstill, and luckily it was in the afternoon when I called Joe up. I said, hey, I'm just curious if you're able to get a hold of Mike for me. My water meter just broke, and when it released, it just blew apart in my cellar, and I have water all over my cellar. He was instantly on the phone with Mike, and Mike and an employee from the water department came and help me replace it, and I just want to thank Joe for the help there, and thank our water department for coming out such a cold, it was very cold that day, for helping me out in my time of need. It was much appreciated. Thank you very much, Joe, and to Mike, and I don't remember his employee's name, but thank you guys. Jeff, they were very good with it, and I appreciate your help.
Mm-hmm. Rich?
I don't have anything tonight.
I haven't got anything either. Let's move on to reviewing the financial report. Will Chad not here? Do you want to make the motions for?
Are you ready?
No.
I'd like to make a motion to pay the payroll $39,868.49.
Do I have a second?
I will second that.
Seconded by Sam. All those in favor?
Aye.
I'd
like to make the motion to pay the warrants of $157,459.69.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Keith. All those in favor?
Aye.
Checkbook status is $1,283,084.93.
Gotta be a school payment. I've been along for it for you.
Yeah. Probably next time.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion to go into executive session under 1 VSA 313A1 for real estate contract and employee review.
I will make a motion to go into executive session for BSA 313 on real estate contract employee review.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Sam. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much for coming tonight.
Thank you, folks.
Did you hear that all the way over there, Joe?
I did. I thought it was the chair.
Yeah.
I pointed.
I'll ask for a motion to end the meeting.
I'll make a motion. We adjourn the meeting.
I second that.
Seconded by Keith. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Meeting adjourned. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you all tomorrow meeting night. So.